Going to have it, so y'all all turn in your hymnal now to 211, 211.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His praise. In the mansion bright and blessing, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like at least some of us survived Christmas. And I don't know about y'all, but it seems like it's been Christmas all week. But also, since we didn't have church Wednesday night, it seems like it's been a month since I saw you. So it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Some been sick, traveling. We still have some out missing for traveling. And I don't know, but Gene and Joyce down there probably slobbering all over that little Caroline. And so I don't know if they'll be back tonight or not, Mr. Travis, but we'll carry on anyway. Don't blame them a bit. Actually, I think we're going to pick up Caroline and Lane right after church. So we had a whole house full, and we get to, well, I guess we'll bring them back. Y'all can just look over them tonight.
We can slobber all over them.
Yeah, you can. I don't think they run out. I'm very glad to be here this morning. So we have a shortened list of events. I'm sure that'll change rather quickly. But this morning, first thing on the agenda is tonight is our singing and fellowship. So 6 o'clock, we'll meet back here and eat some more after we sing. And we do it in that order because if we ate before we sang, we would all go to sleep probably. But come back for that. Starts at 6, and we'll sing until everybody gets tired and then eat a while. Don't forget there will be no services again this Wednesday. That's New Year's Day. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday morning, January the 5th, will be our building fund offering. We've done a lot here in the last year, and facility-wise, and we've spent a lot of money. It's all been, I believe, to the benefit of the church facility and for God's honor and glory. The building fund takes care of a lot of that. Also, next Sunday evening will be our business meeting. So the best way to know what's going on here, I think, as far as the way we spend our money is to come to business meeting because there's nothing hidden or it's all out there and you can see exactly where every penny of the money goes. I also believe it's all of our obligation and our duty to make sure that we spend God's money correctly because it's not our money, it's His. And our desire is just to further His work. 2020 calendars are available. Back there on the back table, and the longer you put off getting them, the less valuable they are, and 2020 will be here in about 3 days, so I hope you're ready for it. Nursery attendance this morning, Sam and Donna Johnson. Next Sunday is Michelle and Holly. Did I miss any announcements, anything? Anyone?
Amen.
237. I'm done, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. But I long to rest in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross.
Of joy that I may not reach.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Travis.
Choir, David, good job, each and every one. Appreciate you very much. Our visitors, we're glad you're here. We would never put you on the spot or anything like that, but thank you for joining in and being a part. We're really happy to have you. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, as I was trying to get ready for today, and New Year's comes in the middle of the week, and I've got some stuff that I'm going to talk about here in just a minute about some sermons coming up in the new year. So I'm going to preach a little bit of a New Year's sermon this morning, although it's still a few days away. We're going to read some out of Proverbs 3 and 2 Timothy in a little while. All this past week, I kept going over and over in my mind. God kept bringing to my remembrance the past year here at Oak Hill, and it's been a wonderful year. 2019 has been very, very good to us here at Oak Hill. We keep moving forward with things that we're doing here and preaching the gospel, and I want you to know that is what God expects for us to do, not to be complacent with where we're at, not to be lackadaisical, but to want and desire to move forward with the preaching and the teaching of His Word. And let us never get comfortable with where we're at. Let us always desire to move forward. And when we have that desire and that drive, if you will, and as we follow the leadership of the Spirit, God will continue to bless us here at Oak Hill. We've done a lot of work on the facilities here in the last few years, and I can't list everything. There's a big list in the last few years, and I know I'd get it all out of order if I even tried, but if you haven't been around back and looked since we've got the brush off or moved around where you can see on our land back here in the back, that's just one of the many things that we've done. It looks great, and I'm excited about having that parcel back there for growth and some things that are going to happen, I believe, in the next year. We already need some more parking. Now that we've kind of got that opened up where we can see what we need to do, we can move forward with maybe moving a few more trees and getting a little bit of parking area. I'm really excited about just being able to see what we have available to us for redoing some septic systems so that we can move forward with plans on the new kitchen out here on the fellowship hall. We have got now heat and air back there, and the floors have been sanded down so they're not so slick, and there's so many possibilities for that facility back there. I've had a vision in my mind for several years now of a new kitchen back there so that we could really utilize that building for God's honor and glory. I know many of you share that vision. I think that we're on the precipice of being able to move forward with that. But as we think about all the things that have went on and all the things that we've done here, and I just want us to remember to not lose focus of why we do what we do and of who blesses us with what we have here. The most amazing thing that has happened here in 2019 is that God has blessed us greatly with new members. And He continues to send folk our way. And it's amazing what God has done. If you stand up here where I'm at and you look back and you see the changes just in the people that are here, it's amazing. It makes my heart happy, blessed, beyond belief. I think that we should all take some time on a regular basis, but now for sure in the new year coming up, to just sit down and reflect on what God has done in your life for your spiritual welfare and to bless your church. We've also lost some in the last year, some who have moved on to other churches. We miss them. I truly believe that God places people in positions and at different places as he sees fit, because this is his church and he builds it as he would have it to be when we follow his will. Although we miss them, our desire is that they be where God can use them for his honor and glory. We've also lost some that have went on to heaven. We miss them as well, but we look forward to being reunited with them some of these days. I don't know when that will be. Could be soon. But it's going to happen in the moment that your eye twinkles. And we're going to be changed and called up. We'll all be reunited again. I'm a little bit envious of those that went on to be with the Lord, because that's where I desire to be as well. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come back and do that. In this past year, upon reflection as well, we've seen many changes in our nation and in the world. This world that we live in is changing right before our eyes at an alarming rate. And this United States of America that we love dearly and that we're a part of and we're blessed to be is changing so quickly that it's hard to keep up. Here's what I want you to remember. God never changes, and he never will. And the promises that he's made us, he will keep. And as we see things going on in the world that we don't agree with because of our belief in God, let us never lose focus that he's still in control. So no matter what movement rises up, what group has an agenda to be forced upon all of us, just remember this, that God's in control, and we're really here just for his honor and glory. And as long as we hold to the truth and move forward preaching the gospel, God will continue to bless. I anticipate more and more attacks on our beliefs in the coming months and years. I believe that if we open our eyes and look around, we can see this coming. Every time you turn on the TV or the radio, you see this or that special interest group that's complaining about somebody not being, quote, woke enough to suit them. Here's what I would have the world to be woke about. Jesus saves. God's in control. There's so many things out there that are being promoted by Satan, I believe. Same-sex marriage, folks. I don't really care how you think about it. What I care about is what God thinks about it. He does not condone it. Sexual orientation is a big deal nowadays. Going around, let me tell you something, God made you who you are. Embrace who God would have you be and move forward. Here's where I stand on all those issues. I'm pretty black and white kind of fella. I don't really care what people think. I don't really care what people with agendas are spreading. Here's what I really care about is what God thinks. And I base where I stand on what God tells me in his word. I care about what God thinks. And so should we all. And we have something here that is made up of 66 little books, and it compromises this thing that we call the Bible. It has the rule and practice for each and every one of our lives. It tells us what God wants us. It's called the Bible, and it is God's holy word. And it is supposed to govern our actions as a people, as a nation, and as a world. That's why I see more attacks on the Bible coming. That's why I see more and more Christianity attacked, is because if Satan can discredit God's word. And as some would have you think today, it's the living word, and it is, but it don't mean what they're trying to say. It don't change. It's the same. So Satan must try to discredit it, to move forward with his agenda. And let me tell you very simply what Satan's agenda is to take as many people to hell with him as he can, because he can't win, because he's fighting God Almighty. You can't argue the Bible unless you discredit it, unless you leave parts of it out. And that's what Satan is trying to do. As social and political pressures increase for Christians worldwide, remember this: God is never caught by surprise. The things that are going on in the world today and in many churches round about didn't catch God by surprise. He knew this was coming, and he prepared for it. And how he prepared for it was by giving us a plan. God has given us a plan whereby all the sins of mankind can be forgiven. And that plan is his son, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, he never changes. Jesus is and always will be the only way to get in the presence of God. Now, I think I would be a little bit remiss if I didn't also tell you that just being a Christian doesn't mean that everything magically becomes great. The Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Sometimes life just happens, and we're to deal with that. And how we deal with that, I believe, is a lot of the way that God gets honor and glory from our life. Because things are going to happen. In Job 14:1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Now, I don't know if you've thought about that little scripture much in the last little while, but it very plainly says that all of us, because we're all born of a woman, we have a short time here on this earth, and trouble is coming. And that's why it's so important that we build our life on the rock, on the chief corner, that is Jesus Christ. The attacks of Satan will continue to increase. People will continue to increase their rhetoric and spew vile speech from their mouth and call us narrow-minded and bigoted, and I've been called about everything you can imagine because of some stands that I take on different issues. Here's what I want you to know, that I do the best that I possibly can to base what I believe on God's word, period, because he is still in control. They attack our beliefs, but we have the ability to know what's right and wrong. And so God continues to bless by moving us forward. I don't know, a couple Wednesday nights ago, I guess, little Eli was saved back there in the back. It's sad to say that we have reached out to his parents, guardians, for permission. He wants to be baptized. We haven't heard from him. Folk, that's the condition of a lot of the world. I want you to know something, though. As sure as Eli accepted Jesus Christ, if he's never baptized, it's never going to keep him from being in the presence of God. God is still working. God is still moving. And so, we keep working. We keep moving forward. Let us never give up. Let us never. We're not defeated, folk. We're victorious through Jesus Christ. How we act and what we do in the upcoming year is what's important. What we stand on, what we preach, what we teach. I see God working mightily in this church and in this community. I see God blessing us more and more as we move forward. how we stand on God's principles, teachings, is really what makes us who we are. I stand on the Bible, God's holy word. This church is built upon that solid foundation. And may we ever be found staying right there. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, while you're turning there, a while ago, Tracy gave me a couple of those big old jawbreaker red hot super whatever you call them, atomic bombs. I love those things. Normally, I use a cough drop, and by the time the sermon's over, the cough drop's pretty much gone. Kind of like the old button. If you get the button in there, you preach forever. I'm afraid I might have got one of those red hots. They last for about an hour and a half. Proverbs 3 and 1. I love Proverbs. You ever just sit down and read Proverbs? There's a lot of information. My son, forget not my law. You know, as we're being pulled and pushed and torn by all the things that are going on in the world, I think that this should be one of those scriptures that's highlighted, underlined, and circled. Forget not my law. If we're not careful, we think that those people that are sitting up in Washington up there that are writing the laws of the land are telling us how we must act morally. Let me tell you something, friend. I believe that the Bible teaches us that we're to obey the laws of the land except when they contradict God's laws. I want you to know that God tells us very specifically here in this scripture, don't forget my law. But let thine heart keep my commandments. As we were talking in our class over there this morning, and I believe that the Spirit of God, when He dwells in us, leads us in the direction that He would have us go. He teaches us by convicting us when we do wrong, and He puts thoughts, desires in our heart. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, when He dwells inside of you, will put the desire to please God first and foremost in your life. Don't forget the commands of God. Never forget the leadership of the Spirit will never lead you contrary to God's word. Folk, we have the ability, because of God's Spirit that lives in us, to know right from wrong when we read the direction book. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. As we think about the year, past year, 2019, it quickly went to the wayside. All the things that we could look around and talk about that happened not only in our nation but in the world. Don't lose track of the sight that God is in control of everything. Nothing catches Him by surprise. And when we keep His commandments, He will bless us with peace. You see, we live in a very violent world. If you watch the news at all, you can see it every time you turn the TV on. Violence everywhere, murders. And just to the south of us here on our southern border, folk, you have to dig a little bit to see just how violent that area is. But the drug cartels are in control of most of the southern part of that border, and even some, I believe, over into our nation. those folks don't know God like we do, and they have no morals. But I want you to know something. They're not going to win because Jesus has already been raised from the dead. All the violence going on, all the things that are happening, didn't catch God by surprise. Now, one of these days, he's going to send Jesus back to get us. But while we're here, we can truly have peace when we accept Jesus Christ, when we accept God's laws. Verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. We stand on the truth, but we also stand on the mercy of God. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the heart, the table of thine heart. So shalt thine find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, I think that one of the things that's missing in the world today is a good old-fashioned fear of the Lord, because he will have the final say, and we should be concerned. And the only way that we can win this war in the upcoming year is to stand on God's principles, to stand on God's foundation, Jesus Christ. To be like Paul when he said, 2 Timothy 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Folk, my prayer is that when Jesus comes back and when he looks down here at Oak Hill, that he can say they're fighting the good fight. They are keeping the faith. And when Jesus comes, he calls us all up to be with him, then we can say we've done the best that we could do. We've spread the gospel, the good news. We've told the world about Jesus. And the way that we fight this fight, the way that we win this race, the way that we're able to stand before Jesus and say, I've fought a good fight, is to arm ourselves with the tools that God has given us. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, that verse tells us that we have to act, that we have to put effort, that we have to do something besides just sit on our laurels. When we study, we learn God's word. We arm ourselves with his weaponry. But in verse 16, it also tells us to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In the upcoming year, let us study more so that we can be better armed, more prepared with the truth in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Let us work harder so that more people can come to Jesus and be saved from a devil's hell. Let us work harder so less people will be separated from God for all eternity. Let us not listen to the vain babblings of the world, but let us stand on God's truth in everything that we do. Next Sunday, it is my intention to start a series preaching through the Lord's Prayer. I want to break it down. I want to explore it. I've never done that. I'm looking forward to it. I desire your prayers. Here's why I think it's so important that we visit prayer. It is our direct line of communication to God. It is our way of giving our petitions to God, of telling Him how we feel, of praising Him. And He has given us that privilege through His Son, Jesus Christ. A direct line of communication. Listen, friend, you don't need me to talk to God. You have Jesus in your heart. All you have to do is talk to Him. You know, sometimes I think if we're not careful, we think of prayer as this duty that we have. And it is, in one sense, a duty and an obligation. But I liken it to this. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That means that we're to have a prayer on our heart all the time. You know, God wants us to bring our desires and our needs and those of our friends and loved ones to Him. But I want you to think for just a second. Some of the best things in life happen when one of your kids call you up just because they want to talk. Just because they want to share. Just because they love you. Not because they need something. I believe God is the same way with us. That He longs for us just to come and talk. To share our life. Yes, we share our struggles, but we share so much more with God. And it gives Him such pleasure to listen. We are in a fight. We're not in it alone. And God has given us the tools that we need to combat the evils of this world. As we study through prayer, I challenge you in the upcoming year to pray more, study more, and watch God work. Do you want to see this church grow? Do you want to see lost souls saved? You know what we have to do? Work. Pray. Invite people. Witness to people. Show the love that God has shown us. Fight the good fight. You see, the truth of the matter is the power comes from God, not from us. The power is in the Word. And if we study God's Word and we know God's Word, all we have to do is tell people what God says and watch the Spirit work. Fight the good fight. I believe in my heart that this upcoming year is going to be a spectacular year here. I believe that when God's people focus on God's will, God's honor, God's glory, and God's power, that we can change the world. I think of the apostles, 12 men that Jesus taught personally, turned this world upside down. And we can do the same today when we call the power of God down. Let's get started. Let's start right now. So what I want to do is I want everybody to stand. I want us all to hold hands, grab a hold of whoever's sitting next to you. Someone behind you, turn around and grab their hand. And let's begin 2020, which is just a few days away, with prayer. Our Father, as we come to You at this time, Lord, we're thankful for such a blessing, a blessed year that You've given us. Lord, we look forward to the upcoming year, and I pray, Lord, and we pray together that You would be honored and glorified in this upcoming year, and that Your power would be shown to the world. That, Lord, our desire is to spread the Word and share Jesus Christ with the lost and dying world, that lost souls might be saved, that lives might be changed. Lord, use us. Use us.
Give us the heart of a servant. Lord, open our hearts and minds that we might be willing to do whatever it is that you would have us do so that you can be honored and glorified in 2020. I thank you in advance for answered prayers because I know, Lord, that you say that we have not because we ask not. I ask your blessing on this church. Continue. I ask, Lord, that you could condition and prepare the hearts of the lost round about that they might be receptive of the word. I pray that you condition the hearts of those you're going to send our way for church membership, however it may be, that we might all join together in 2020 and uplift Jesus Christ, focused on sharing the good news with the lost and dying world. Now, Lord, I just pray that you send Jesus back soon. This whole world's in the dire straits. I know that you're in control, though, Lord, and I pray that we can be effective until you send Jesus back. Give us strength. Give us purpose. Give us unity. Thank you. For Jesus Christ. In his name, I pray. Amen. Amen.